Down the Dump Podcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us on the Down the Dump Podcast. This is our part one of our 2013-2014 NBA season preview. We have collected some different interviews that Andrew did with some of our favorite people that write about the Thunder and talk about the Thunder. We have Carson Cunningham from KOCO, Anthony Slater from News OK or the Oklahoman or whatever it's called these days. We've got Zeb from Welcome to Loud City, which is just a fellow blogger. And then we finally have somebody I feel like, you know, it's kind of like the original Thunder guy, which is Royce Young from the Daily Thunder. But we appreciate you checking us out. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at DTD Podcast. Check us out in our podcast center through iTunes or on your smartphone. You have to search Down to Dunk in order to do that. We appreciate you checking us out, and catch us next week as we come back with part two with the Down to Dunk crew for the NBA season preview. Thanks for joining us.
All right, we're glad to welcome back Carson Cunningham to the Down to Dunk podcast. How you doing, Carson?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Just ready for real basketball to happen and not so much speculation.
You're not fired up for the trip to Turkey? For Thunder?
I'm excited to see our young guys get a chance to play. I am really looking forward to that, but I'm ready for some real ball, some stuff to really take a look at rather than just speculation. But that's all we're going to do today is just speculate on the season.
Sounds good to me, man. I'm fired up for NBA basketball as well.
Sweet. So we're going to do some over-under questions to start with. And just kind of the first over-under is over-under 60 wins for the Thunder this season.
I have to go under, although I think that's a really good number. I think they'll land right at it or just below it. For me, like, there's just too many question marks going into this season. Number one is the Russell Westbrook injury. They say he's going to be ready for the start of the season, which I don't doubt. If you know Russell, I can't imagine how crazy he's going in rehab getting back. He's probably already dunking and flying around like he normally was. But that's a huge question mark for me. How good of shape will Russell be to start the season? And my main concern is the bench, which I'm sure we'll get into a little later with Jeremy Lamb. But losing Kevin Martin after losing James Harden, it just seems to me like the bench is kind of degressing. And I'm a little concerned about scoring off the bench. I'm not sure they're going to rely on Jeremy Lamb, but we don't really know anything about him, which, like I said, we'll talk more about him later. But the question marks on the bench for me, I don't think they're going to get to 60 wins just because of that. I think they're good enough. I mean, with Russell and Kevin, you're always going to have a chance to win 60 games just because those two are just so incredible. They don't need much help. Serge Ibaka is improving, but I'd have to go under. I'd probably guess around 55 to 57 wins.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they are going to take a step back, which a lot of Thunder fans are not going to be ready for or excited about. But young guys, that's just kind of the way it goes. So on to Jeremy Lamb. Over or under 10 points per game for Jeremy Lamb this season?
I think I changed my mind on this like five times. I read the rundown here. I'm going to have to go under just because I don't know anything about him. And the one thing that really I loved Lamb coming out of the draft. When Houston got him, I was like, man, I wish the Thunder could have figured out a way to get Jeremy Lamb. So when they made the Harden trade, I was like, all right. I mean, I liked Lamb a lot at UConn. I thought he was immense in their Final Four run.
Yeah.
But the thing that concerned me the most about him is when we got to see him towards the end of the season, once the Thunder had clinched their playoff position, he got a lot of run. And I didn't think he played very well. I haven't looked up his shooting numbers, but he didn't shoot the ball well. He really had a chance to kind of showcase himself, and I didn't feel like he played as well as I would have liked. That was a big concern for me. I think Scott Brooks likes to play Derek Fisher. I think he likes to play other guys. I'm not sure how much he's going to trust Jeremy Lamb in a close game. I'm not sure if he's going to give him the run that he needs. Now, maybe that's a Sam Presti decision where he tells Scott Brooks to play him more, and then he might get up around 10 points per game. It's too much of an unknown for me to go over 10 points per game. I think 10 would be a solid output for him, considering he hasn't played hardly at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to go under.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet. I think that a lot of people would, I think a lot of Thunder fans would say over on that, but you're right.
I think they'd be optimistic, don't you?
I do. I think that scoring in double digits is a bigger deal than what people realize for a bench player, especially a guy who's really not even considered our sixth man. You know, it's rare that seventh, eighth guy is going to average over 10 points a game.
Right, yeah. I mean, he would have to – I mean, we'd have to see a much drastic change in Scott Brooks' rotations even just to get Lamb that much opportunity.
Yeah.
And who knows – I don't even want to say the I word unless something like that happens, injury or something mm-hmm. like that. But yeah, I'm going under for sure.
Okay. Okay. Over under 100 NBA minutes for Steven Adams this year.
the big New Zealander. Well, when they drafted, like before the draft even started on our Sunday show, I was asked, what one player in the draft should the Thunder avoid drafting? Well, I'd read all these mock drafts that they were going to go after this Steven Adams. And I said, that's the one player they should not draft.
Yeah.
So, of course, that's who they picked. I just think he is such a project. I mean, when was the last time someone from he's the first New Zealander ever. So that's working against him. But I'll say this. When I watched him in summer league, he wasn't as bad as I thought he was going to be just starting out because he's so green, you know.
Right.
I thought he played some decent defense. He's athletic. I think the more I watched him, the more I kind of talked myself into him playing that Hashim Thabeet role. I think Adam showed he could spare Thabeet some minutes or even challenge him for his role. But as far as minutes, man, 100 NBA. I have to go under just because of the unknown factor. I don't know if he's going to – again, we had the Scott Brooks factor here. I'm not sure he's too willing to play a rookie extensive minutes or even up to 100
mm-hmm.
given the fact he's never played and given the fact that Scott Brooks wants to win every game. You can see that the way he coaches. He's not experimenting too much. He's setting his rotations. He wants to win every single time they take the floor. So I'm going to have to go under 100.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a 66er this year. I don't see him putting on that Thunder jersey very often.
He's saying he needs to buy a Pike Pass to Tulsa?
He does, absolutely. He might just need to buy a home there. I don't know. I was with you. I thought, I don't want a project big man. Those rarely ever work out. But watch, I mean, I hate to use summer league as an analysis ever, but he did move well on the court. And you're right, he wasn't incompetent. As a player, which was nice to see.
Well, that was certainly encouraging. And like I'm like you, I don't like to draw any conclusions from summer league, but that's really all we have to go on Steven Adams, other than because he didn't even start for Pittsburgh. I mean, he only played about 10 minutes a game for Pittsburgh, which mm-hmm. is a scary stat. But you're right. I mean, for what they asked Hashim Thabeet to do, he could totally do that. So.
Yeah.
There's some hope for him, but I'm like you. I think he's going to be making that trip to Tulsa about every week.
Yeah, which is not a bad thing. It's
well, that's what he needs. Yeah, he needs to go up there and learn how to play basketball because he's got the physical tools. He just needs to go learn how to play basketball.
Yeah, and we'll see this year if, you know, maybe teams are going to start using the D-League differently with rookies depending on, you know, how Jeremy Lamb ends up performing. I think if he comes out and is able to score over 10 points a game, people may look at the D League a little differently with their rookies.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for that. Like the guys that are like the 11th or 12th man that just sit there and, you know, do the 3-point celebrations on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not going to play, send them to Tulsa and let them play. I mean, there's some talented guys that end up in Tulsa just because it's a numbers game and there's so many, you know, NBA talented players. So I'm all about sending them up there and just get them some reps. It's all about reps anyway. And if they're just going to be practicing their Cole Aldrich 3-point rate, just send them to Tulsa.
Absolutely. Okay. Over under for the number of threes Serge Ibaka is going to take. I've set it at 75. So over under 75 3-pointers from Serge Ibaka this year.
And you said he had 57 last year. So you're going, this number is way above what he did last year. Yeah. I hope under. Like, I like Serge, that he has range and that he's kind of experimented with the corner three. I guess it kind of helps the offense in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Thunder are ever going to beat Miami, he has to be on the block and he has to be scoring inside. I don't want him at the 3-point line. I don't want him doing the Chris Bosh routine out on the perimeter. They need him inside. He needs to work on his – I hope he's been working on his inside game and post presence. But the last thing they need out of him is three-point shooting. Although I say that, they lost Kevin Martin. Maybe they could use some three-point shooting. But I think Jeremy Lamb needs to be the one, if anybody, shooting threes, or Derek Fisher or whoever. But I don't. I'm going to go under because surely Scott Brooks isn't going to let him shoot 75 threes this year. Surely they will talk him out of that, I hope. But I got to go under here.
Okay. I have the sneaking suspicion that it's going to be over.
Really?
I mean, there's just been there's just been patterns in the league in the past of these guys that have just fallen in love with the three-point shot, especially big guys. And this is an extreme example, but Rasheed Wallace one year, I think he jumped like 100 or 150 shots from the three-point line.
That's not who we want to compare Serge to, Rasheed Wallace.
It's not. But I just and Chris Bosh too. I mean, Bosh went from a guy who was an inside presence in Toronto to a guy who does sit out at the three-point line a lot. So I just wonder, if he's going to end up as a stretch.
Well, I looked up his stats here. He shot 35% during the regular season from three, but he shot 44% in the postseason. I'm not sure what the totals on how many. It might be a low number in the postseason, but 35% during the regular season. I don't think I want him shooting threes, but maybe, I mean, he can certainly improve that. But we're talking about the power forward on the team shooting threes. I mean, when you got Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, that's plenty of outside scoring. I would like to see Serge. He has to get on the block, and he has to learn how to score on the block. That's what they kept him for. That's what he needs to start doing.
Yeah, I hope. I would like him to develop post-game. I just worry about – I've just seen his footwork and just how uneasy he looks in the post. And
that's certainly true.
I just wonder if he's just going to be a face-up guy.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he hasn't – up to this point in his career – now, he's still young. He's still insanely young when you think about it. But you're right. To this point, he looks confused and scared when he gets the ball with his back to the basket. Now he needs to go to Hakeem Olajuwon camp every summer for the rest of his career and just say, Hakeem, just work me.
What do I do with my feet?
Yes. Show me. We don't have to do the dream shake. We just need to develop a few quick little post moves that can get me some easy points.
Yeah. He'll either shoot that 15 footer, or he'll do that. Like, it seems like it's almost five steps where he just kind of cradles the ball and then runs to the goal.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Next, over under 15 minutes for Derek Fisher this season.
I'm going to go under. Maybe I shouldn't, because Scott Brooks is still coaching the team. He loves Derek Fisher. And to be honest with you, I've kind of warmed up to him. I really have. Like, when they first picked him up and he was playing over, other guys on the bench, I didn't like it. But the way he played in the playoffs kind of won me over. I mean, he played outstanding. I don't know if they beat Houston without him, way he was playing.
He was awesome.
He was incredible. And the reason I say under is it's the regular season, and he's kind of been able to skip that the last couple years with his contract situations. Maybe he's going to be more concerned about being a bench role guy, just on the bench, kind of almost like a player coach in a way, and not concerned with like the amount of minutes. Now, I still think he's going to play, and Scott Brooks is certainly going to run him out there to spell Russell and Reggie. But I think he's going to take more of a kind of coaching role during the regular season. But come playoff time, I would say over 15 minutes a game. Sure. But during the regular season, I think he'll be right at it. I'm going to go under just to take my money there.
Sweet. I hope that you're right. I want to see our young guys get some minutes. I want to see as much Reggie Jackson as Scott Brooks can handle out there on the court.
Right, and that's another reason why I think he should be under is Reggie Jackson and Jeremy Lamb need as many minutes as humanly possible. Yep. So maybe I'm being optimistic, though. It is Derek Fisher we're talking about.
The last over under 20 minutes per game for Perkins this year. He averaged 25 minutes last year.
Over with a capital OVER. All the overs. This is, Brooks loves Perk. He's going to start him. Now, we saw in the playoffs, he kind of broke his habit of starting Perk in the second half against Houston. Mm-hmm. So he's shown that, hey, maybe there's certain matchups where I can't play Perk as much. Now, there are a lot of teams still in the West that Perk is useful against, where he has to be on the block and guard, you know, the team's best low post scorer. But it's Perk. He's going to start, and Brooks is going to play him about 25, 30 minutes a game, just like he always has. So I got to go over here.
Yeah, I think even though the public perception of Perk has changed over time, I think you're right that Brooks's ideas about Perk are not going to change.
Well, and it was discouraging to me because I got to interview Perk after the season. He was doing one of their Thunder kids camps, and he was talking about how poor his season went and how excited he was this off season because he didn't have to have any surgeries. Well, then, like, about a month later, they announced he had another surgery, and I was like, oh, man, that's horrible for Perk because you can tell the wear and tear on his body has really started to affect him throughout these last couple of years. He doesn't move as well as he did when he was in Boston. So I was hoping to see him have a healthy offseason, but maybe this surgery can get him back to where, you know, he can get up and down the floor a little bit better. But I was discouraged by that for sure.
Yeah, he seems to have been – I mean, it seems like he's played hurt nearly the entire time he's been in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, for sure. And that wrist injury, I think people kind of overlooked that. Remember he hurt it against Dallas a couple years ago. That really – he couldn't even, like, attempt to shoot the ball, let alone pass it or handle it. So he's had just one after another, it seems, ever since that knee injury in Boston. But he's going to be a starter. He's going to play a lot of minutes. And I do think he still serves a purpose when they play, you know, the big uglies in Memphis and teams like that.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, we're going to do a true and false segment here. The first true and false is Durant gets the 50-40-90 again this year.
I go true. I think Durant is going to be on a mission this year. I think he hates the way last season ended. I think he pays attention to numbers a little bit more now in his career. I think before he just liked to win, but I think he's tired of hearing about LeBron. I think he's tired of hearing about how he's the best player. I think Kevin's going to be on an absolute mission this year. So I'm not betting against Durant. I'm going true.
Yeah, and follow that up. True or false, Durant wins the MVP this year?
I got to go false. It's still LeBron's world. We're all just kind of living in it. Say the Miami picks up an injury or two and they struggle a little bit, that could open the door for Durant. But I think it's LeBron's as of right now.
Yeah. I think the only way that he would get it this year would be kind of like how Karl Malone got his MVP, just kind of voter fatigue.
That's true. That's a good point.
And which I don't really want Durant to get it because of voter fatigue. I want him to get it because he is the best, most valuable player in the league, you know?
Yeah, and you don't want what happened to Malone where he played Jordan in the finals and they present him the MVP award and Jordan just destroys him in front of his home crowd. We don't want Durant holding up the trophy and LeBron seeing that and just going for like, you know, 40, 20, 10 or something.
Yeah. What people don't realize is that Durant in 4 years could be legitimately, he could be, you know, getting 3 or 4 MVPs in a row.
Mm-hmm. Do people forget how young Durant is? It's crazy.
Yeah, he's you know, he's that much younger than LeBron, where, I mean, people act like they're just neck and neck, but really, you know, KD's pretty far off from where his, you know, where people talk about people's primes. Like, Durant's not even there yet.
That's true. He's not even approaching it yet. And that voter fatigue you talked about kind of came into play. Remember towards the middle of last season, Durant was starting to get some MVP buzz.
Yep.
And then that's when LeBron won like 20 straight or whatever it was and just destroyed everyone.
And I think that kind of happened when Derrick Rose won the MVP. I think people didn't want to vote for LeBron, maybe not out of fatigue, but more out of, you know, the decision that had just happened. There was just kind of this hate train that everyone was on for LeBron when Rose won
it. It's such a politicky award. Like, there's so much like into it. I think Derrick Rose was this new, fresh face. And, yeah, you're right. I mean, looking back years from now, we're going to be like, how did Derrick Rose win the MVP over LeBron?
Yeah, it was absurd. Okay, next true-false. Russell Westbrook misses 0 games this season.
Oh, man. This is probably the toughest question yet. I'm going to say no. Unless he tears something again, I think he's going to play every game because that's Russell and no one's going to tell him, hey, you're not playing tonight. That's just not in his DNA. The guy is a machine. I think he's going to be out to prove that he's not going to get hurt again. He's going to play like Russell always does. And unless he, you know, re-aggravates the same injury, I can't see him missing a game just because that's his first game. That's the first time he's ever been hurt in his career, dating back to high school. Yeah, so I think it's kind of a freak thing.
Yeah. I think that you're right. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. I think people are going to kind of underrate him coming into the season. Okay, next, true, false. The Thunder will miss Kevin Martin this season.
I say absolutely yes. I mean, Kevin Martin wasn't, you know, James Harden by any means, but he was a 42% three-point shooter, which is something the Thunder, they have to have that to space the floor. They're going to rely on Jeremy Lamb to do that. Kevin Martin's a far more proven player than Jeremy Lamb. I mean, Kevin Martin was 10th in the league in three-point percentage last year. So I have to say, yes, they're going to miss him. They're going to have, you know, Jeremy Lamb can't produce the same points that Martin did by himself. They're going to have a combination of Jackson and Lamb and maybe a little bit of Fisher to kind of help pick up the slack for KD and Russell.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're going to miss him for sure.
Yeah, I think on the offensive end, there's no doubt that that production, you're right, it's going to be missed. I think defensively, though, I think that, and I don't know what Lamb looks like on the defensive end on a consistent basis, but I think more of Reggie Jackson on the defensive end is a good thing.
Absolutely. Reggie's, he's tearing it up, man. He's really turning into a player. But yeah, you're right. I think we don't know much about Lamb's defense, but Martin was not good defensively, and that's kind of an understatement.
Yeah. Next, Tava Sepolosha is underrated. True or false?
I think so. Anytime the best defenders in the league are mentioned, his name never really comes up. And he's kind of an afterthought on the Thunder as a starter. You know, people don't really mention him. Just when they're talking about, talking about the Thunder, we're just now talking about him. Yep. So I think he goes unnoticed a lot. I think it's amazing to me how much he's improved his three-point shooting. When he first started here in Oklahoma City, I thought he was the worst shooter I'd ever seen in the NBA. He couldn't hit anything.
Yeah.
He couldn't even make a layup. Yeah. But now he's turned into a decent three-point shooter, and his defense, of course, is always solid. So he's helped him out against guys like Tony Parker. I mean, not many people can guard Tony Parker, but right. He's one of them. So I think he's underrated.
Yeah, I completely agree. Do you know what he shot from three last year?
You're going to tell me. I don't know.
He's 42% from three last year.
The same as Kevin Martin.
Yep.
Wow. That's an incredible stat.
In 2000,
maybe they won't miss Kevin Martin. They got Tabo.
Yeah. In 2011, 2010-11, he shot 27% from three.
Oh.
The next year, 2011-2012, he was almost 44% from three.
Oh, my God.
But he was only he's barely taking one a game. And then this past year, he took either between one and three per game, and he was 42%. So, I mean, that's a big leap. So hopefully he continues that this season.
What camp did he go to? Did he go to the cage?
Yeah.
Did he learn triple threat over the summer? I mean, we need to send Perk to that camp.
Yeah, get him. No kidding.
Get him a jumper.
Yeah. It's absolutely crazy.
That's amazing, though. That shows how hard of a worker he is, that he can improve that quickly.
Yep. Okay, next one. Serge Ibaka is overrated.
I'm not going to say overrated. I think he still has a lot to prove. I guess I'm kind of talking my way out of this question, but I think he gets a lot of respect for his defense because he has that weak side blocking aspect. I think as a defender, he's a little bit overrated in that he can't just shut somebody down one-on-one. He gives up some points down on the block when, you know, other more heralded defenders can slow people down. I think he needs to work on his one-on-one defense and posting people up.
Mm-hmm.
But in his offensive game, he's a lot of jumpers, like we've mentioned, not a lot of post game. So I think he's a little overrated for where he's, you know, talked about amongst the league. But I think he has the potential this year and throughout his career, he's young like Kevin, to be an all-star. I think he really has the talent to be an all-star year in, year out. He just has to put it all together. So I'm going to go slightly overrated, if I only want to use that term. But
I think he hasn't fully tapped his potential yet.
Yep. Reggie Jackson will get sixth man of the year buzz this year. True or false?
I say true. I mean, a lot of times these sixth man awards go to just the best guy on one of the best teams or the best bench guy on one of the best teams. And Reggie's certainly, I think, going to be the best man coming off the bench for the Thunder. And I think the thing that I love about Reggie is he's not that great of a shooter, but he is so dynamic on the pick and roll. He reminds me a lot of Harden and how he uses screens to get to the rim. There were times last year when he could just get to the rim whenever he wanted.
Yep.
So he can do a decent, a poor man's James Harden routine this year and get a lot of six man buzz. And there's not a lot of competition for that award. I remember last year there was only like two or three legit candidates like Jamal Crawford, J.R. Smith, and maybe one other that I could even think of off the top of my head. So he's got a definite chance to make some waves there.
Yeah, absolutely. Last true false. Hashim Thabeet will be the backup center come April.
I say yes, just because I don't see Steven Adams in his rookie season, having not played very much basketball, kind of taking that role from him. I think Thabeet will be the guy, and thank goodness for that. He's so much fun to see walking around, and his Twitter account's hilarious. And I like having him on the team, so I'm going to say yes.
Do you think Daniel Orton has a shot, first of all, to make the team, and then second of all, to play at all this season?
I don't think so, because his defense just is lacking, and that's what they need from their big men. I think that's the staple of the Thunder, is they need their big men to defend. Now, he really played well in the summer league. He definitely helped his case. Before the summer league, I would have said no chance, but now he's definitely got a chance going into camp and all this to make the team and possibly take the Beat's role. But I just think they want defense out of that position. They don't want offense, so I think that gives to Beat the edge.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just two more questions, and then we'll be done. The player that will make the biggest leap this year.
The biggest leap this year, I think, out of everyone in the entire league?
Just on the Thunder.
Oh, on the Thunder. Okay, I got you. The biggest leap, I would say, would be Reggie. I wanted to say Lamb, but like I said, there's too much unknown with him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Reggie because I think when he played last year in the playoffs, I think fans from other states and around the country were like, who's Reggie? Is that the guy that played for the Yankees? Who's the guy? Now, I think they're going to be on TV so much. He's going to make a big impact off the bench. I think he's going to become a big player on this Thunder team. I think people are going to start recognizing him as one of their better players. So I think this is a big year for Reggie.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last question, the player that you're most looking forward to watching this season on the Thunder.
Definitely Jeremy Lamb. Because like I said, I loved him at UConn. I thought he played as good or better as who was the star that when they won the Final Four? His name is just escaping me.
Kemba Walker?
Yeah, Kemba Walker. Mm-hmm. I thought he played as well as Kemba Walker did in that run to the Final Four. Now, he didn't have as good a year the next year, but I loved Jeremy Lamb coming out of college, and it's clear to me that the Thunder love him because they were willing to make that deal for Harden, and they were willing to let Kevin Martin go so that he could play. So I think everyone is going to have all eyes on Jeremy Lamb because they need him to perform this year, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to watch him, even just from this first game overseas. I'm excited to see, you know, what he looks like. How does he run up and down the court? What's he look like defensively? Is he going to hit threes? You know, I'm really excited to watch him too.
Is he going to do like a Harden 3-point celebration?
And this is interesting to me. All of our two guards since Harden have had this kind of unique on the court relationship with Nick Collison, and they've kind of had a two man game. And even Kevin Martin developed that last year. I wonder if that's going to happen with Jeremy Lamb.
That's a good point. That's key because you know those are the only two guys that can really score when they go to that lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So. Gosh, I love Collison. I'm surprised we haven't talked about him
yet. I know. We haven't mentioned him at all.
I mean, I know he plays well off the bench, but I'd like to see Collison start just for old time's sake, but that's just me.
Yeah, I think that he needs to play more, and I don't understand Brooks' fascination with Perk versus Collison because I think Collison, I like what he brings better than what Perk does. I just wish they would shave Perk's minutes down a little bit and give Colossae more run. But
that could be an hour-long podcast. me and you just dissecting that whole conundrum.
Yeah, it's troubling, but it's just the way it is. Well, thanks a lot, Carson, for coming on the podcast. We appreciate you. We'll be watching you throughout the season on News 5 and look forward to you coming back on again this season.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. Looking forward to talking to you once we have some actual basketball to break down.
Thanks, Carson.
All right, man. Thanks.
I'd like to welcome Anthony Slater back to the Down to Dunk podcast. Anthony, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw that you have a new position. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I'm Thunder beat writer, kind of our number two guy behind Darnell Mayberry, who I'm sure you all know well, and kind of replacing John Rohde, who left for the franchise, a new radio station in Oklahoma City. It's kind of my first big beat job. I'm real pumped about it. I'm becoming a team kind of on a full-time basis instead of last year. I was blogging a lot about them, but also about, you know, OU, OSU football. So instead of sharing my time, I'm kind of full-time Thunder now.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
We're going to start with some over-unders for the Thunder for this season. So the first one would be over under 60 wins for the Thunder this season.
Oh, I'm going to go slightly under. 60 seems, you know, 60 is a big milestone. They're going to be breaking in some new guys early on, you know, Lamb, I'm sure they'll be, and Jackson's going to get a bigger role. I'm sure there'll be a little bit of growing pains. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's too much to where, you know, we're talking, you know, in the 40s. I think it's somewhere around. I think ESPN had a projection that had them around 58, and that sounds about right to me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That still could be good enough for first in the West. So
yeah, it very well could be. The competition in the West this year is going to be a little stiffer, so it could result mm-hmm. in fewer wins for everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, over under 10 points per game for Jeremy Lamb.
Oh, that's a good question. Just because, I mean, we don't know much about him yet, I'm going to go under. I think it's going to be right around 10. I mean, if I had to guess, we'll know a lot more early on. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's going to take a much more prominent role. 10, double digits. Well, Martin averaged something like, 13, 14 last year?
Yeah.
So I could see it. I think Reggie Jackson is going to take more of the scoring load, you know, that Martin's leaving. So I'm going to think Lamb's going to average somewhere around 8, 9, 10-ish.
Yeah, I think I think it's a reasonable expectation for him considering the minutes that are there for him.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, I would guess, especially in the first couple months, you know, he may have some games where he puts, you know, 20 on somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he'll have some games where, you know, his minutes are down or he just doesn't get the shots he's used to. Or, you know, he's going to have a few nights where, you know, he's struggling with the shot, maybe shooting like 1 of 9 or something. So mm-hmm. I think it's going to be kind of give and take early on.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, over under 100 NBA minutes for Steven Adams.
In his first season or in his career?
In his first season.
Okay. I was like, you're really down on Adams in his career. But 100, I'll say over. I'm slightly more optimistic that he can give them a little bit of something early on than most people are. Obviously, we don't know much. Can't start the weekend. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as the opinions from other people start rolling in, it'll help me gain a stronger opinion on what he's going to do in year one. But yeah. I would assume he's, you know, they're going to blow out some teams early on when they play the Raptors or, you know, those kind of teams where I'm sure they'll try to get him in late in the game. And then I'm sure he'll be in Tulsa some. But I think by the end of the year, he may have carved out like a nice little role. If he just shows enough offensive capabilities to where, you know, maybe he can catch and finish a little bit better in Perkins or the beat, mm-hmm. I'll go over. Okay. Like I said, I'm more optimistic than most. I wouldn't be surprised if he's just stashing Tulsa all year and it's under 50 minutes, but like I said, I'm optimistic.
Yeah. After I wrote this question, I looked up kind of the minutes played of the guys last year, and Daniel Orton played over 100 minutes last year. He had like 104, yeah, which kind of surprised me.
How many did you look at Perry Jones?
Yeah, let me look real quick. Yeah, Jones was, he was pretty close to 300 minutes last year, which is surprising.
I mean,
so 100 is very low. I mean, it's
very low. Just because, I mean, blowouts every once in a while, and then the big ones are going to be late in the year, especially if they've already clinched, where, you know, you almost get a full game out of some of those guys.
Yeah. And they do play the Bobcats this year, so there's a...
That is very true. You might get a whole half out of that.
Okay. Next over-under is over-under 15 minutes per game for Derek Fisher.
I think regular season, especially first half of the regular season, I think he's going to be sitting under that. I think they're going to, number one, they're going to try to really get Lamb, you know, with some good experience, Jackson, kind of get under his feet. And then, so I think that'll take away from Fisher's minutes. And then I also think Fisher's going to be completely fine with kind of resting his body up for late in the year, because, you know, all he's really concerned about is playoffs.
Sure.
So I don't think he's going to play that much early. He may sit a few weeks and say, oh, you know, I got a sore knee or something. Like, remember last year, I think he quit the Mavericks, sat out about a month, and then, you know, decided to sign in midseason. So I think he's more concerned about starting to amp up his minutes and the kind of production later in the year as they get towards the playoffs. And if Lamb can show up and Jackson continues to show he's growing, he might not need him. So we'll see. The reason why he got so many minutes in the playoffs last year, I mean, it was because Westbrook went down and he kind of had a hole in the rotation.
And he was good. I mean, he played really well.
He had what did he shoot? Something around from about 50% from three in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He actually played James Harden pretty well defensively. I mean, there's obviously some areas where he's just not going to help you, most notably athleticism. But, I mean, you can't knock him for any kind of play in the playoffs last year. He was actually one of the most consistent players.
Yeah, he was. He was real bad in the regular season, but he shows up when it matters.
What did he miss, like 22 straight shots at one point early on?
It was bad. He was nearing the Jason Kidd territory.
But then he almost hit about 22 straight at one point between the Rockets and Grizzly series. It was ridiculous.
I had to lose several arguments with people during the playoffs because of his performance.
Yeah.
Okay, next one is over-under 75 threes taken by Serge Ibaka this year. He took 57 last year.
57 last year. For the Thunder's sake, I would hope it's under. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a great shot. I mean, you know, he does hit some. I don't know what percentage he shot last year. I'm sure it was decent, you know, in the 30s maybe, 20s or 30s. But I just don't think it's a good shot within their offense. I think he needs to be, you know, crashing the boards, you know, sitting maybe about 18 footers. I could see him going over because it seems like it's something, you know, he's trying to get in that Chris Bosh mold where, you know, Dirk Nowitzki, where he's pushing a shot out. And like I said, I mean, it's decent. You know, he hits it, semi-regularly.
He's 35% last year.
But if I'm the Thunder coaching staff, I'm probably, you know, let's tone that down a little bit. You're not we have sharp shooters. You're not, you know, we need you to do other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Over under 25 minutes for Kendrick Perkins this season. That's what he averaged last year, was 25 minutes.
Under. I think they're going to slowly kind of push him into lower minutes. Do you have it up right now? What did he average in the playoffs? I bet it was under what he did in the regular season.
Let me take a look at the playoffs.
I just think they're going to kind of slowly push him a little bit more out of the rotation. I think he'll still start, but I think he's going to be kind of more like the playoffs last year, where he starts, plays 5 minutes, then you might not see him the rest of the half.
Mm-hmm.
Then he starts the second half, plays a few minutes, and, you know, the other team goes on a little mini run, and he's sitting on the bench cheering the rest of the game.
Yeah, so he's 19 minutes in the playoffs per game.
Yeah, I would assume that's around what he'll average this year, maybe even a little lower.
Mm-hmm. That's our last over-under. We're going to go into some true or false statements.
Okay.
First true or false is the Thunder are the favorites in the West.
I think they're the favorites in the regular season again. Just with the constant energy they can kind of bring, you know, they've got so much youth. You know Westbrook's going to be up for any game. He views a game against the Raptors in mid-February like it's game six of the NBA Finals. So I think they just have the energy to kind of sustain it longer than some of the other contenders. And I think they're better than most of the other teams besides maybe San Antonio, you can make an argument. But I still think, you know, Houston's going to go through growing pains.
Yep.
The Grizzlies, I still, you know, I'm not a huge believer in the Grizzlies. I think they kind of caught a break that, you know, Westbrook went down.
Sure.
I think the two best teams in the West still are the Spurs and the Thunder. I think the Thunder will have a better record in the regular season. I think, you know, you never know what's going to happen, just like what happened in the playoffs. But if I had to guess, I think that's going to be the Western Conference Finals again. I don't know. I need to know a little bit more about the younger players from the Thunder, specifically Lamb, and then if Adams can give them anything before I, you know, decide if I think they're going to beat the Spurs.
Sure. What do you think about the Clippers?
That is another team that they're intriguing. I think the Doc Rivers it's a huge upgrade over Vinny Del Negro. I mean, that kind of goes without saying. I still think they just have roster issues, especially, you know, late in the game with they're kind of afraid to play DeAndre Jordan because, you know, he shoots from, what, like 30% from the line. But has Blake Griffin he needs to kind of expand on his offensive game. I mean, they're a nice team. I'm sure they'll have a couple of, you know, 15-game winning streaks, but I just don't think they're consistent enough to where I can put them with the Clippers, with the Spurs and Thunder yet.
Mm-hmm. True or false, Russell Westbrook will struggle at the beginning of this season?
I don't think he'll struggle. I think they're just going to kind of limit him. I think, especially, you know, with the way Presti kind of runs his organization and the way Brooks will, they're going to kind of slowly bring him in. You know, they might only have him play 30 minutes a game early. So, I mean, I think his points per game, some of his shot, you know, that might be down. But I don't think you're going to noticeably see him as a worse player on the court. I just think they're going to kind of slowly bring him into it. It'll be interesting for me to see how he responds to that, because, you know, if he's on the court, he's going to want to be playing 46 plus minutes per game. He's not going to want to come out. This isn't an ACL, which I think is a big thing that it's almost, you know, you see ESPN or other people, they have it come out, you know, who's going to have the best comeback year, you know, Rondo, Derrick Rose, or Westbrook. ACL is a lot different than a meniscus. It's a lot tougher to come back from. I think the way the Thunder have kind of played it up to, you know, they're being really careful with it, so it's kind of made people view it as a worse injury than I think it really is.
Okay. True or false, Tabo Cephalosha will have a bigger role on this team this season?
So I think false, but not – he won't have a, you know, lesser role. I just think he's going to have the same role he's kind of had the last few years. He shot the three a lot better last year. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the role he's been playing is just kind of the role he's there for. You know, he may shoot it a little bit better, which will help. But, I'd probably assume he's going to get the same amount of minutes, same amount of shots. Only thing, I think this is a contract year for him. So, I mean, he may play with a lot more energy, but that's never really been an issue with him.
Sure.
So, I think he's one guy going into the season. You kind of don't worry about, oh, is he going to get better? Is he going to play worse? It's just Tavo's going to be Tavo, you know?
Yeah. I'd like to see him shoot more. I feel like he shot nearly 42% from three last year. I'd like to see him get more shots.
Yeah, it's true, but that's almost – it's just how the defense kind of dictates it, because his shots are just, I'm in the corner. If I get a pass because they leave me, I'm shooting it.
That's,
you know, if they stay on him, he's not creating his own shot,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And he doesn't try to, which, I mean, I think it's a good quality.
Which, yeah, it's great. He's the perfect role player for the Thunder.
Yeah.
Another role player, true or false, Nick Collison is underrated?
I'll go nationally true. I think he's underrated. He plays an important role off the bench. You know, he'll have at least 50 games this year, you know, where he comes in and plays a real important role. But I'll say locally, that's false. I think he may be a little bit overrated. He's like, he's got kind of like a cult following in OKC. So I think he's better than, you know, a lot of people view him nationwide. He plays an important role, but locally, you know, a lot of people are trying to get him 35 minutes a game, start him over Perkins, you know, let him shoot threes. he's important, but I mean, he plays the role that he should, and he does it well, I think.
Yeah, that's a great answer. I like that. True or false, Reggie Jackson will get sixth man of the year buzz this season.
False. I think they're going to kind of, I don't know. I mean, I think they're going to give him 30 minutes a game, but we've kind of yet to see him play on the court with Russell Westbrook, which is kind of, it's what Martin was really good at. It's what Harden kind of learned to do. I think there's guys like Jamal Crawford who are going to get a lot more, you know, shots, other things like that. They'll probably take over the sixth man. I think he's going to experience some growing pains as far as, okay, I'm on the court with Westbrook. I'm not handling the ball. You know, how do I kind of get shots off the ball? It's stuff Martin actually struggled with a little bit last year because he was used to it. So we'll see. I mean, maybe he does get some votes if he really, you know, performs well. But at this point, it's kind of a wait and see with, I guess, everything at this point.
Yeah. I see him kind of, I mean, people have made this comparison a lot with Eric Bledsoe. People didn't talk about him as a sixth man too much, but I think he plays a similar role to.
Yeah, I think that actually is a good comparison. Kind of the role Bledsoe played with. He was real important to the team, but he just didn't. There just wasn't enough opportunities and shots to put up minutes, to put up numbers that, you know, kind of go along with sixth man of the year.
Yeah. What player are you most looking forward to seeing this season on the Thunder?
I mean, I'm looking forward to everyone. A guy I think is real under the radar that I don't want to put too many expectations on, but I'm excited to see Andre Robertson. I'm not really trying to compare the two, but Dennis Rodman was drafted 32nd overall. He was Robertson's drafted, I think 26. I think they have a lot of similar qualities. I mean, this guy just rips rebounds. He's undersized like Rodman and Barkley and those kind of rebounders, but he just kind of has a knack for it. I think he's second in the nation in rebounding last year, and then he was Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. So I think if he just develops enough of an offensive game where you can at least have him on the court, kind of the issue Ronnie Brewer had last year where it was like, okay, you're just too bad offensively that we can't have you out there. If he can just develop to where, okay, you know, they can't leave him open for a 10-footer or just leave him, you know, as a cutter. If he can just get those kind of capabilities, I think he could really help him in areas like defensive rebounding and just defense overall.
Do you think that he'll end up carving out a role faster than a guy like Steven Adams?
I think he's more NBA ready. I don't think his ceiling is as high. I mean, obviously, you know, Adams goes 12. There's a reason he went 12. There's a reason Robertson went 26. But I think immediately, yeah, I think he's got more of a chance to carve out a role.
Yeah. What do you think about Perry Jones? Where do you see him fitting in with this team in the next few years?
I think I see him on the end of the bench this year and probably somewhere else in the next couple of years. I don't think he's shown much. He just doesn't kind of seem to fit this team, especially moving forward. I mean, he has some talent to maybe develop into an NBA player down the road, but just kind of the way they've handled him, we'll see, but I don't really see him having much of a future in this organization.
Yeah. Did you see the story on the NBA nicknames? They're putting nicknames on the back of jerseys?
Yeah, I did. That was kind of strange.
It is strange.
Just for the Heat Nets game is kind of what I read. They're thinking about it.
Yeah. Is the Thunder maybe the worst team for that?
They don't have great ones, although I don't know. I mean, they could. I mean, you'd have like maybe Ibaka could be like Air Congo. The Westbrook, you don't really want to do Honey Badger now that, you know, Matthew's playing for the safety for the Cardinals. what would you, Wolverine kind of, they have a lot of nicknames that haven't really caught on.
Yeah.
That, you know, maybe if, you know, they decided to have some fun with it and, you know, one time did a jersey on their back, maybe the nicknames start to kind of catch on. Durant's got about 12 that none of them are really popular. They're all just kind of there. So, I mean, I think they're definitely worse in the nickname department than a team like the Heat and Nets probably have the most.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think they've got more than, you know, name a nickname for some guy on the Bobcats or Raptors. You got to play well to get a nickname. You know?
That's true. Well, that's all that we have. I appreciate you coming on podcast. We love to have you back on during the season whenever we have actual basketball to talk about.
Yeah, that helps with conversation, doesn't it?
But we appreciate you, and we'll be looking for your stuff during the season.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
All right. I would like to welcome Zeb from Welcome to Loud City to the Down to Dunk podcast. How you doing, Zeb?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Why don't you tell our listeners where you're at right now?
I'm in the city of Ljubljana, Slovenia. I was here covering the Eurobasket a few days ago.
So tell us the main difference that you've noticed between Eurobasket and NBA basketball.
Oh, it's a lot more tactical. Like, you're not going to get as many great highlight reel LeBron James, Kevin Durant type dunk plays, things like that. But you're going to get a lot more teamwork, a lot more decision making on offense. It's almost a little bit more like college because the coaches have more control over what the players are doing and how they're moving across the floor. So. And it's definitely different, you know, a little bit less athleticism, a little bit more strategy, and it's fun to watch.
That's awesome. Well, I'm going to get right into our questions. We're going to start with over-unders. And the first question is over or under 60 wins for the Thunder this season?
I think I'm definitely going to go over. I mean, this team really hasn't changed that much since last year, besides the loss of Kevin Martin. You've got some young guys coming in to replace him, and at the end of the day, this team is built to survive the regular season. You've got, you know, two players who are some of the best talents in the league and can just win games on talent alone. I mean, I can't count on my hands how many games that the Thunder weren't very good tactically, but were really good in terms of talent and were able to pull away from their opponent just based upon that. So definitely over.
Awesome. Over under 10 points per game for Jeremy Lamb this season.
I mean, I'm going to have to go with like a dead even there, because I think that's right about where he'll be. Mm-hmm. He's definitely going to struggle from the floor. I think like he'll get like maybe something like 38% to 42%. Not where you want him to be, because he's just going to have growing pains adjusting to the NBA game, because he used to be able to just kind of reach over his defenders because his arms were really long, but now he's got to get a little bit more creative. So it's going to be a growing year, but he'll be right around that point.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree with that. I would love to see him hit double digits coming off the bench, being our, you know, seventh or eighth guy. That'd be a great spot for Jeremy Lamb.
Definitely.
Okay, over under 100 NBA minutes for Steven Adams this year.
Now, I'm going to go over, but only because there will be two games at the end of the season where the Thunder will have locked in their seat. And then he'll just kind of slide in with 30 minutes per game there and add 100.
I mean, last season, Daniel Orton had 104, which shows me that number is extremely low. But, I mean, do you expect Steven Adams to be a 66er this year, essentially?
Yeah, I mean, he'll basically be spending most of his time in Tulsa. I talked to the guys who watched him in college, and they said that they couldn't even see him surpassing to be Orton in his first year. So he's a big project.
What do you project him to be going forward, even past this season?
You know, I mean, you just kind of want him to be like he's really he kind of came out with the same scouting report as Cole Aldrich did. Mm-hmm. You just kind of want him to be a guy that, like, you know, he's really mobile. He's really coordinated with the ball. So maybe someone like a Roy Hibbert, not exactly a guy who can create his own shot all the time, but just has great touch around the basket, you know, things like that.
Okay, over or under 75 three-point shots for Serge Ibaka this season. He had 57 attempts last year.
I definitely go over because the meteoric rise of Serge Ibaka has been amazing to see. I mean, if you just look at his numbers, I think over the past four seasons, he just keeps improving every single year. And you always hear the Thunder guys talk about, oh, he's the last guy in the gym. He's always working out. And I just think the sky's the limit for him. If he can continue to work on his game, over the next 2 years, you know, while he can still improve, I think that he could legit be like a floor spacer for us, which would just be like amazing off the charts, you know?
Yeah, that would be. I see. There's been trends with guys like this, like big guys that start shooting threes and they kind of take off, and they end up taking, you know, one or two threes a game. I could see him taking one three a game this season, which would take him well over that mark. Next question, over or under 15 minutes for Derek Fisher this regular season?
I'm definitely going to go over because there's no way Derek Fisher would have signed with the Thunder if he wasn't getting minutes, because he's always said he doesn't want to be a coach. He refuses to be a coach. He doesn't want to be a guy sitting on the sidelines. He always signs with the team that's going to make him play in minutes. I've never seen him sit on a bench and throughout his entire NBA career. So there's a promise that someone gave him that he's going to be getting minutes. It's probably going to be as a two guard next to Jackson, but you know, they're going to be there. So I'd say over 15 minutes.
That's an interesting take. I haven't read that he doesn't want to be a coach and has no interest in sitting on the bench like that. That's some good stuff. Okay, over under 25 minutes for Kendrick Perkins this regular season.
You know, I hate to say it, but you gotta go over. I mean, you're stuck with Kendrick Perkins, really. I mean, who's going to mop up those minutes, you know? Mm-hmm. You could play Collison, but you still got to have someone back up. Is Orton or Tabeet going to, or are Orton or Tabeet going to improve enough to back him up? Probably not. So you're just going to have somebody starting there at the five. And in the regular season, he's not that bad. I mean, he can provide defense sometimes. He can provide a little bit of offense sometimes. He's kind of there.
Yeah. What do you think about Orton? Do you think he has a – first, do you think he has a shot to make the team? And second, do you think he will have a chance to be that backup center?
He has a shot to make the team, definitely, just because of like the hometown value and things like that. But other than that, I really don't see him being somebody who can make the team, because for as many like good plays I saw him make over the summer league, which is really the only place I've been able to watch him, mm-hmm. he made like disastrous plays where he just like airball a free throw line jump or something like that. So, mm-hmm. you know, you've got to be there mentally, and I don't think he mentally knows what he's capable of. And until he can figure that out, I don't know if he can be a regular contributor.
All right, we're going to move into some true or false questions. The first is, the Thunder are the favorites in the Western Conference.
You got to go with true, because no other team, I mean, all the other teams have gone through some sort of change in their lineup, and we've gone on over a change, but we still have the same basically eight players that we've been playing besides Kevin Martin. We're just going to have somebody step up in a scorer role, and all the other teams have some sort of different piece moving in and out. And so, you know, when you start at the beginning of the season, you're like, well, you know, it's the same guys as before. So we gotta say that they're the best. So I'd say true.
So how are the Thunder going to replace Kevin Martin's production? How do you see that playing out?
Well, I mean, you got to look at Reggie Jackson's stats. I don't have them handy, but in the playoffs last year, I think he averaged over 10 points at least, maybe 15, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it was 13.
Yeah, 13. I mean, he was a great offensive contributor, and I think he's going to kind of step up into that fourth role behind Ibaka. And Derek Fisher, we've never had him for a whole season before, mm-hmm. so he's going to definitely step up and fill some of those points. And then you've got Lamb stepping up and filling in some of those points. Whereas some, and you know, we might see a little bit of a tapering off of someone like a Cephalosha or a Collison, as if they need more tapering off. But really, you know, you'll have those kind of you'll have those guys dominating the ball. So.
Sure. Next, Kevin Durant will win the MVP this season.
I'd say that's a false, just because there's so much aura surrounding LeBron James right now. No matter how, I mean, he basically led his team throughout the NBA Finals, as much as I hate to admit it. You know, he's, you know, and you got that whole NBA 2K14 is coming out with this thing where you create your own dynasty with LeBron James or something like that in scripted events, where Allen Iverson comes back and meets him in the Eastern Conference Finals. You know? I mean, That's just so much there that no matter what happens in the regular season, unless the Heat just miss the playoffs or something, he's going to win.
Yeah, I agree. I think the only way that it would happen is if there was some sort of voter fatigue on LeBron. But I feel like people are just now appreciating his game again after the decision. So I agree. I think this is LeBron's this year again. Next question. Russell Westbrook will struggle at the beginning of this season.
I you know, that's something that you really can't answer because you don't know where he is, where he's at in terms of his rehabilitation. But my guess, just given the fact that at the end of that game, at the end of that game, he wasn't slowed down at all. I mean, the game where he was injured, you know, I mean, yeah. He was playing on that torn, you know, whatever. I don't know much about.
Yeah, meniscus. Yeah.
Torn meniscus. Yeah. So, you know, he, you know, recovery is a whole different battle. But if he can play on that torn meniscus so well and he's never been injured before, then he's definitely going to have the energy to, you know, be at his normal level when the season starts.
Yeah, and he has something to prove, too, to everybody. And, you know, Russell Westbrook thrives with a chip on his shoulder.
Oh, absolutely.
Next, Reggie Jackson will finish in the top three in Sixth Man of the Year voting.
That's a tough one. I think he could be there. It just really depends on how much Lamb steps up and how much Fisher steps up. So, I'll go ahead and say false, just because I think that there's more contributors on that bench than you might have on, say, another bench. He's not going to be, like, the number one guy there. But it could definitely happen, say, you know, Fisher gets injured and Lamb tapers off. Both of those things are very likely to happen. So it could happen, but I'll go ahead and say false.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I think that his role... A lot of times the Sixth Man of the Year are guys who score close to 20 points a game coming off the bench. And I don't see that happening with him. I see him contributing, with a more all-around game defensively with rebounds and assists. But those things don't get as noticed as much as J.R. Smith averaging 17 points a game. Next question, Nick Collison is underrated.
I think a lot of people are going to hate me for my response on this one, but I think he's way overrated. He's, you know, I think I love his defense. I love the way his basketball IQ, the way he moves around the court, the way he's able to handle himself. Just he has a really great knowledge of where to be and what to do in the game. But when you come down to the facts, he's one of the least offensively productive players in the entire league. Now, you could point to the fact, say, like, oh, you know, guess because Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook soak up all the offense, which is partially true. But he's just absolutely useless offensively. He can't back anyone into the paint. He can barely hit a jumper. He can sometimes. And you might say it's because there's no plays drawn for him, but I just don't think the skill is there offensively. So I like him as a backup. I love having him as a backup. He's one of the best backup bigs you can have. But I think that everyone hypes him up to be just a little bit too much more than that. And I'd say he's false. He's overrated.
I think that it depends on who you talk to with Nick Collison. There are some people that just love him and think that he's just the greatest. And then I guess people that aren't Thunder fans probably have not hardly anything to say about Nick Collison. So I think you're right that to Thunder fans, he probably is overrated. And I think some of that probably has to do with his personality as well. He's just a great interview. Last true false, Anthony Roberson, not Steven Adams, will be the rookie to have the biggest impact on this team.
Absolutely true, because Steven Adams, as I said before, is a total project. Shouldn't expect anything from him in his first season. I mean, I'm talking absolutely nothing. Not saying that he's not going to develop, but Anthony Roberson, I think he's like a junior. He already had 3 years in college. He was grabbing a whole too much ton of rebounds. He's a defensive guy, and I think that he could like really he's kind of the heir apparent to Tabo Cephalosha, because Tabo's getting paid $3 million a year right now, and he's going to expire in, I think, 2 years, and they're going to have to find a way to shed salary somehow. And I think I wouldn't be surprised to see Cephalosha go and then see Roberson kind of be that guy who comes in as a swingman and plays D, even though he's a little bit big for it, you know.
Mm-hmm. I just want to thank you for coming on the podcast, Zeb. We'll be reading Welcome to Loud City throughout the season, and we hope to have you on again.
Much appreciated. Thanks a lot for your time.
I'd like to welcome Royce Young back to the Down to Dunk podcast. How you doing, Royce?
I am excellent today.
Awesome. We're going to go through some rapid-fire questions. First, we're going to do some over-unders, and then we'll do some true and false questions. We'll start with the over-unders. First question is over-under 60 wins.
I'm going to say under. When we did our thing at ESPN where we predict everybody's win totals for the year, I think I had the Thunder at 58 and 24. So I don't want to deviate from my, I guess, unofficial official prediction there. So sure. I'll say under 60, but I do think that there's a chance to be over that, but I'll say under for now.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. I mean, losing Kevin Martin is a pretty big deal, especially when we're replacing him with an unknown commodity and Jeremy Lamb.
Yeah, and plus, I think that, yeah, that's absolutely true. And then I think, you know, the Western Conference, to me, is better. It's a little more top-heavy than it's been in the past.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, there are some unknown teams that, you know, if the Portland Trailblazers are good, if the Dallas Mavericks are improved, then I think it could be difficult to get to 60 wins. And, you know, I wouldn't say that the West was down last year, but I think the West was very clearly kind of the Thunder's to lose. And I don't think it's that same situation this season. So I think getting to a number like 60 again would be pretty tough. But I don't think that necessarily means the team is worse. I think it just means that maybe the competition has improved some.
Yeah, absolutely. And even a team like Sacramento, like that team's going to try to win games this year, and they're going to be more structured than they have been in the past.
For sure.
All right, next over under 10 points per game for Jeremy Lamb.
Boy, that's a tough over under. I'm going to say under. I say that with firmly believing that Jeremy Lamb could be a brilliant offensive player, and I think he could be really special. So, but I think at the same time, it's gonna be a lot about what his actual role is. And, you know, I think that a lot of people have kind of misinterpreted the Thunder's offseason to believe that Jeremy Lamb is now going to be James Harden. Jeremy Lamb is now supposed to be Kevin Martin, and he's the Thunder's new sixth man. I think the sixth man that they're really going to be counting on is Reggie Jackson. And I think that Jeremy Lamb is going to kind of fit within that second unit. And, you know, but is he going to be a spot-up shooter? Is he going to be a scorer? You know, how is he necessarily going to fit? So I think he'll probably score under 10 points a game, but I think if he does that, I don't think that necessarily means he had a bad year. I think if he scores a very efficient 7.5 points per game, I think that that's probably a good thing, because you have to look at, are they getting the necessary production from that second unit? Is Reggie Jackson and Jeremy Lamb, are they adding up to be one James Harden? And if that's the case, if they're adding up to 17 or 18 points together, I think that that's a pretty good unit there.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. I think it's probably unrealistic to think he's going to be a double-digit scorer, being our seventh or eighth man off the bench.
Right. Yeah, that's a lot to ask of a guy, especially a guy that, you know, he's had a rookie season, but, you know, he's got a lot of expectation on him this year. And I think to think that he's going to step in and average 14 or 15 points a game is just kind of unfair to him.
Yeah. Next over under 100 NBA minutes for Steven Adams.
Ooh, man, that's a...
Just a little, a baseline.
Yeah, give me that, because I'm trying to imagine how many is 100 minutes.
Daniel Orton had 104. Jeremy Lamb had 149 minutes last year.
Okay. And I'm going to say over. I think he'll play over 100 minutes, because, you know, I think guys like Orton and Lamb benefited a lot, too, from the Thunder being really good. Mm-hmm. That, you know, there were so many blowout games that they got to play almost the entire fourth quarter in a few different games. But, you know, I think that Steven Adams, I really don't know what to make of him right now. I have no idea if he's going to be excellent or if he's going to be a bust or if he's going to take 5 years to become something. But I do think that there's an opportunity on this team. You know, the center position is as well documented in Oklahoma City. It's not exactly a position that's just completely firmly set. You know, so this is a position that I think that there, especially backup. I think, you know, Hasheem Thabeet was okay last year, but as a backup center, but I don't think that he's got a death grip on that at all. So I think that Steven Adams, from what I understand, he's been impressing. He's impressed in workouts in the offseason. I thought he was pretty good in summer league. So if he plays really well in training camp and shows that he can grasp the defensive system a little bit, I could see him, you know, getting a little bit of spare time here and there and playing well over 100 minutes, quite honestly.
Yeah. Do you think that he could be like a DeAndre Jordan type player?
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, a lot of people have often got it in their heads that, you know, the Thunder got to have this back to the basket player. They've got to have this post presence, this big man in the middle that you can dump it down to and score. Well, Shaquille O'Neal doesn't exist in the NBA anymore. There are very few guys, even the guys that are, you know, good at it, aren't really that dominant. You know, Roy Hibbert is a big, good post player, but he's not a dominant back to the basket offensive player that, you know, you rely on to get 25 points a game. He's just he's a good big man. You know, Al Jefferson is a great interior player, but he's not a guy that you just dump it down to and, you know, rely on all the time. So plus, look at the Thunder's offense. It's predicated on on perimeter players that handle the ball and drive to the bucket. And you don't want a guy standing on the block getting in the way of that all the time. So yeah. I think that Steven Adams, you know, if he's sound in the pick and roll game, catch, if he can finish. Yeah, I think that's exactly what DeAndre Jordan does, right? He's a guy that, you know, you're not drawing up any plays for him, but he can score a little bit. He can put back offensive rebounds. He can finish a lob, and he can catch and dunk inside. So, you know, I think that that's probably a pretty sound comparison because physically speaking, Steven Adams is a beast. I mean, yeah. The guy's huge, and he's athletic, and he can run, and he can jump. So I think that that could be a pretty sound comparison.
And he's only 19, and he is huge for a 19-year-old. Yeah.
He's built. I mean, he's built like a brick house. The guy is definitely developed pretty well physically.
I was honestly just completely distraught when they drafted him. But the more I read about him and the more that I kind of study his like YouTube clips and stuff, the more I'm kind of coming around to Steven Adams.
That's called being a good fan because you even when you're disappointed, you spend time convincing yourself that it's going to be okay. I think we all went through this when they traded James Harden. Yeah. You know what? Kevin Martin, not bad. And, you know, it's the eternal optimism that I think that can get you through some of that type of stuff. I wouldn't say I was necessarily disappointed, but, yeah, it was kind of the same thing of, especially with all the talk about potentially moving up, yeah. About maybe, you know, getting to the number one or number two pick. I think it kind of unfairly disappointed us because it was like, oh, all they got was Steven Adams. That's it. Yeah. And so I think that kind of brought down our emotions a little bit.
Yeah, the Oladipo talk was just through the roof. And it took me on a little emotional ride that night. So
yeah, I was team Oladipo too. So yeah. that hurt a little bit.
Next, over under 75 3-point attempts for Serge Ibaka. He had 57 last year.
I'd say over. You know, I think I wrote this not too long ago, but you know, a lot of people have made a big deal, and rightfully so, about Chris Bosh and what his 3-point shooting has done to the Miami Heat offense. Well, Serge Ibaka shot a higher percentage and made more threes during the regular season last year than Chris Bosh did. So, the 3-point shot for Ibaka, I don't think it's something that he needs to look to force or be looking for, but when they're available, I think it's a great asset to have. And I think that he's going to take a lot, and I think he's going to make a lot. I think it's something in his game. If you look at the trajectory of Serge Ibaka as an offensive player, you know, he basically started out as a guy that didn't know where to stand and didn't know how to catch a basketball. Yeah. And now, you know, he's maybe the best mid-range shooter on the entire team, a team that involves Kevin Durant. And he's now expanded his game out to 25 feet. So, you know, he gets better and better and better each year offensively while obviously being a really good defensive player. So I think that that's very reasonable, and I think he could make 35% of those.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it takes some people kind of off guard about it, but for him to just sit in the corner for one or two possessions and catch and shoot, I mean, that's two attempts per game. He's going to be well over 75, and the rest of the time he could be in the paint. So it doesn't mean that he's just going to camp out there, but
yeah, I think that, yeah, you're exactly right. There is that some people mischaracterize that as why is Serge Ibaka not dominating inside? Well, if you've got an open three, you gotta, you know, you're available to take it. You know, it's, and if you're good at making that shot, then why would you turn it down? 3 points is worth more than two. It's a highly effective shot, especially a corner three has been proven time and time again to be one of the most effective shots in the NBA. So, yeah, I think that if people are, you know, if he's just camping out there, like you said, and just firing away at will, then I think that that might be a concern because we all know that Serge Ibaka needs to be a little bit better and more physical inside. But if he's just taking those when they're available, I think that that's nothing but a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the way – I mean, the league is moving in that direction. Everybody's figured out the 3-point shot is huge, and it's something that most teams are moving toward. And I'm looking forward to seeing Serge Ibaka shoot more threes.
Yeah.
Next, over under 15 minutes per game for Derek Fisher in the regular season.
Oh, geez. Let's just pray to God it's under. I'm just going to say that out of sheer hope, just because I don't want to talk about him playing more than that.
Yeah.
But you know, he has a place, and I think I felt it last year that he was a good signing at the time because they needed a third point guard. And having Derek Fisher on your team is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. The guy he's a tremendous leader. He's a great voice to have in the locker room. I think the players really respond to him. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's a bad thing. So it's just about how you use him. And right now, you know, they don't have a third point guard. So as long as Scott Brooks can control himself a little bit and not get carried away with his Derek Fisher love, I think having Fisher on the team is a good thing, but he better not be playing that much.
Yeah. Next over under 25 minutes for Kendrick Perkins in the regular season.
That's a tough one. You know, I think that they are probably going to look to trim him down a little bit because, you know, I think the Thunder will try to play smaller a little more this year. I think that they'll try Durant at the four and Ibaka at the five or Collison at the five quite a bit. So I think he'll probably be right at that number. I think that probably sounds about right to me. I've been kind of backed into a corner as being somehow a Kendrick Perkins defender, and just because I'm not on the side that's screaming and yelling to amnesty him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Perk does have value, and I think people have forgotten, you know, he looked so bad in the postseason that that's the lasting memory everyone has had of him. But, he played pretty well, I thought, in doing his job of defending the paint and setting screens. I thought he did a pretty good job through most of the regular season. It's just in the playoffs, he was just historically bad. And a lot of that was because Russell Westbrook couldn't cover up his offensive inability. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you remove a top five offensive player from the floor, and now that is gone, and you've got to try to find that production from other players on the floor, and one of them happens to be maybe the worst offensive player in the world in Kendrick Perkins, it's going to make the guy look bad by default. And yeah. I think the team still values Perk. I think that they understand what he does for them and how he benefits them. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they tried to trim it back a little bit because they're trying new things. But I still think he's going to get a pretty good share of minutes.
Yeah, and I like that perspective of the playoffs. Everybody likes to talk about that, you know, the Grizzlies playoff series as a baseline for players. Well, that's just completely unfair for Perk and Serge Ibaka and right. Cephalosha and all these guys that benefit from, you know, the presence of Russell Westbrook.
Absolutely, exactly. If you take a guy away like Russell Westbrook, you know, the result is not going to be favorable for anybody pretty much other than Reggie Jackson. Even Kevin Durant, I think, you know, while he performed brilliantly, even he had his struggles without Russell Westbrook. So I think that that's unfair to necessarily stick on people.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of true false questions.
Okay.
First is Reggie Jackson is the fourth most important player on this team, true or false?
True. I say true for sure. I think that you got Russ, KD, Serge, and then Reggie. I think that that's for sure true.
Okay, next one. Nick Collison is underrated. True or false?
Huh. I don't know. Yes. True is in all caps with exclamation points. You know, it's one of the things I will say this about Nick, that he's been it's one of those things that Bill Simmons talks about. You underrate him so much that then he becomes a little overrated, and now he's back to being underrated, because I do think everybody has begun to notice his value to the team and what he does in terms of advanced stats and lineup data and taking charges and all that stuff. Everybody kind of realizes that now, but still, Nick Collison as a pick and roll defender, I don't think he gets near enough credit for what he does on the floor. And and he's a pretty good offensive player too. He just doesn't have to show up very much. So true for sure.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you coming back on the Down Dunk Podcast. We'll be reading Daily Thunder throughout the entire season, and we'll hopefully have you back on soon.
Yeah, you got it, man. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. All right.